We're going to get our special guest hooked up here. He's busy doing his job, watching his team, rather than focus on his conversation with me. It's the Cubs Senior VP of Player Development, Jason McLeod. Jason, great to see you. Appreciate you finding some time. Yeah, welcome to town. How are things?
Things are great. It's hard not to be great out here in Eugene in the summer. It's always a favorite stop for all of us that travel out of the office to go see our affiliates.
So, little background. You were a ball player. What level did you reach?
Ball player is putting it nicely. No, I did have the opportunity to play a little bit. I pitched in a Houston organization, lower levels, rookie ball primarily. But it was a great experience. One that I learned a lot from, met some friends that I'm still friends with to this day, and really set me on my path for what I felt like I wanted to do in terms of being involved in professional baseball. And I was really fortunate, living in San Diego, growing up in San Diego, that back in those days they didn't have the big internship programs that they have now with major league clubs. And I was really fortunate to be hired on in the front office. As a gopher, really, just do whatever they asked of me. And that was 1994. And here we are 23 years later.
The strike year.
Absolutely. In fact, I got laid off in August of that year when all of the interns and seasonal employees got laid off in August. And
great timing, by the way.
I know the Padres went through an ownership change. Tom Werner sold the team to John Moores, and I was hired back on in the winter of between 94 and 95. So I was really fortunate.
Now, I bet you get this a lot because you hear about guys, longtime scouts, and putting 70 million miles on their Toyota Corolla or something like that. What was so appealing to you about the scouting end?
You know, it's funny. First of all, it's just baseball in general. I'm a fan. I'm passionate about it. I always try to remind myself how lucky I am to get to do what I do. And I just want to go sit in the seats and watch the game and enjoy it without having that analytical eye that, that we all have now when you work in the ballgame. But looking back early on in my career, like I said, I was in the office. I had a great opportunity to go out and coach for 3 years in the minor leagues. And it's funny because I was a pitcher my whole life and I pitched, some minor league baseball, and they had me be a hitting coach in rookie ball. And I was so fortunate in that the whole winter prior to that year, the winter of 95, I got to spend 4 or 5 days a week for 2.5 to 3 months sitting beside Tony Gwynn.
Oh, my goodness.
And letting – because hitters would go down to the stadium at Qualcomm and hit all offseason. So I just sat there listening to Tony for basically 2 to 3 hours a day for 3 months. He and Merv Rettman, who was our hitting coach at the time. So I learned and soaked up a lot. I was able to coach in the minor leagues for 3 years, great experience, and still go work in the office in the off season. And eventually became like an assistant in player development scouting in the office. And actually I had lunch one day with Theo Epstein and Kevin Towers, and our area scout job was coming open in San Diego. They thought it would be something that I would be good at, would be really beneficial in my career. And that literally changed the trajectory of my career.
Amazing.
I thought I was going to be an area scout forever, and I would have been fine. I loved it. I just loved the competition of it. I loved going out and evaluating, trying to beat the other scouts in the area. And, it was something that I just took to it. I was really passionate about. And, in baseball, like a lot of walks of life, you do work. You work as hard as you can. You always try to be as good at your job as you can be. And then you just need those doors to open for you and give you opportunities. And, Theo Epstein was already a really good friend of mine, and he goes to Boston, becomes the general manager, youngest general manager in the history of the game at the time. And they were going through a reorganization of what they wanted to do in baseball operations. And, he trusted in me enough that they hired me to come over there to be their scouting director.
Amazing.
Things really took off from there.
Yeah, to date myself, I remember when Merv Rettman was a player with the Orioles.
Exactly.
I grew up in North Jersey, a Yankee fan, so I know that whole story. On a technicality, I'm not supposed to ever be speaking to Theo Epstein, just in case it ever comes up. But, to get back to that, you were part of some amazing drafts. with the Red Sox. Dustin Pedroia, Lowry, Clay Buchholz, and of course, Dustin played in the then Pac-10. Mm-hmm. And now if you looked at him, he doesn't look, you know, physically. What popped about him that you were like, because that he wasn't a first rounder. No. He was your first pick, though.
He was our first pick, yeah. You know, it's funny. He was a guy that, you know, in 2004, like you mentioned, we didn't have a first round pick. We were picking 65. And, you know, when we talked about that pick, you know, we could have gone a couple of different ways with it. It was, you know, do you just shoot the moon and go for the biggest projection upside high school kid that could be out there? Or, you know, do you try to just, let's just get a big leaguer. So we were hoping that we just got a big leaguer with that pick. And, you know, Dustin was a guy that didn't light up the scouts. You know, he wasn't the fastest, didn't have the strongest arm. But what he did do is he was ultra competitive and he hit everybody. It didn't matter if the guy was throwing 88 or 98. He hit Mike Pelfrey. He hit all the guys that were the dudes at the time in college baseball. He did it in the summertime with the wood bat. So you know, his performance was just off the charts. But it was easy to look at him in uniform, and you know, Arizona State's uniforms didn't help him any because they wore those baggy unis, and he would pull up his pants and just looked like a little Oompa Loompa out there sometimes. But you know, it was funny, when we got to that pick, there were two guys sitting on the board still. Kurt Suzuki was the other one. And we had some internal discussion, like, which way do we go here? Do you take the, you know, the premium defender behind the plate or Pedroia? And obviously, you know, we went with Dustin. I can sit here and I can tell you with 100% honesty, none of us thought he would have the career he's gone on to have. We thought we were getting, in fact, the question I asked the room, I said, if we take Dustin Pedroia here, you know, would we be happy if he ends up with like Jody Reed's career?
Wow.
Good career.
It's a great call.
And everyone was like, heck yeah, pick 65 if we got Jody Reed. And, you know, 3 years later, he wins Rookie of the Year, follows that up with an MVP, and off and away he goes. So he ended up, you got to get lucky in the draft. It's hard enough. We were really fortunate to have some strong drafts and get some guys that made, you know, significant contributions to the Red Sox.
Now, when people think of ending both curses, obviously Theo Epstein's name comes up. But the bottom line is I'm not even sure some people forget that Jed Hoyer is the actual GM of the Cubbies. So, you know, all these names that have made such incredible contributions, how would you talk about, like, his organizational skills?
You know, it's great because Jed, I've had the opportunity to work with him now in three different places.
Right.
In Boston, he and I didn't work directly together a whole lot. When he went to San Diego to be the GM, he took me with him to be the assistant GM there. So I got to see a different side of him from a leadership standpoint,
right.
How he really let those people under him work. He and Theo have different styles in the way they do things. And, you know, Theo's like the hard-charging, driven, everyday guy where Jed likes to sit back and really, you know, look at things from that mile-high view and really delegate really well. And so now him being the GM here in Chicago, you know, it's fun seeing he and Theo operate together because I think they complement each other. Or I should say I know they complement each other so well with their styles. Theo really likes to roll his sleeves up and jump in with both feet, no matter what it is, whether it's the major league team, when we're in the draft, he's in the room every single day from the moment we start until we leave 14 hours later. He's in there grinding
right.
with us. You know, sometimes like it's aggravating because I'm like, Theo, why are you grinding me over a senior draft in the 14th round right now? You know, but that's just how he's wired. So they have, you know, definite styles that complement one another. Jed is obviously another guy that's incredibly intelligent. He deals primarily with the major league club,
right.
the day-to-day goings on, and you know, obviously the major league transactions. He does a lot of the media that Theo would rather, you know, not prefer to do. So they work great together, and I've had the wonderful opportunity to learn a lot from both of those guys.
Talking with Jason McLeod of the Cubby front office. Now, in a college town, when a team makes a Final Four, makes a major bowl game, the phone rings, assistants, coaches, are they ready to leave, go to a higher level? And you, all of a sudden, last year, as the Cubs were making this incredible run, I believe they were granted permission to Twins to mm-hmm. talk to you, but then instead you and Jed both re-up. So I'm curious as to that whole process and why you felt like, nah, maybe someday, but right now is where I want to be.
Well, two things. One, you know, first, having the opportunity to go through the experience in Boston and understanding, you know, what it's like to get to the mountaintop, but especially in that town, Boston at the time. you know, in 2004, it was just Boston and the Cubs. You know, both teams were vying for who's going to have the longest drought of the century. And so going through that experience in 2004, doing it again in 07 with a different type of team where we had a lot more of our own homegrown guys we drafted on that club. That experience is one that will remain with us for the rest of our lives. And then to have the opportunity to come to Chicago to really what now was the greatest challenge in the history of North American sports. How many people can say they worked for both clubs, let alone having the opportunity to win
a title,
a World Series with both teams? So, you know, so many factors line up. I mean, I get to work with two guys who are two of my best friends. They give me a lot of autonomy in what I do with scouting and player development. We work for who I would say arguably is the greatest owner in sports to work for, and Tom Ricketts and the Ricketts family. So much positivity going on in the organization with the renovations at Wrigley Field and what we've done in Mesa with that the complex there, and what we've done in the Dominican, to seeing a lot of the guys we had drafted recently or acquired recently, get through the minor leagues pretty quickly with the Bryants and Schwarbers and the Haps and guys like that. Just everything lined up where it was, man, how could you possibly think about leaving this? We work in a great place, and I'm just so blessed that I get to work in this town for this ownership group with and for the people that I work with every day. And it's an awesome place to be, from our scouts to all of our player development staff. I think everyone's just, we're in this special window of time where, we're going to have the opportunity to get back into the postseason with the young players on this team. And I think all of us share that vision and challenge of wanting to do it again. And now, the challenge on us and the impetus on us in scouting and player development is to replenish the system. We've traded away a lot of our capital and prospects. We know that we've got pitching that we need to help fill in this major league with our major league staff, because some of those guys are getting older, some of them are going to be coming off contracts, and so that's a challenge for us, and that motivates us to go out there and be able to supply the major league club with those players.
All right, so I have one final question, and it's totally selfish. Have you, and I wonder if you hear from fans from outside other sports, I'm a Knicks fan. Could you and Theo and Jed go work for the Knicks so we could end the 44-year drought there?
I have some friends who are Knicks fans, and I'll say this. Here's what I can say to that. I am a San Diegan, native San Diegan through and through. No championships in any sport.
That's right.
In San Diego. So I know exactly what it's like to just be waiting constantly and then, have turnover and regime change. And now this guy's going to come in and do this. And my family all still lives in San Diego. So believe me, I can commiserate with that.
That's awesome. Hey, it was great to get a chance to talk with you.
Congratulations
on your success. And, when you're back in town, hope we can catch up again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Appreciate it.